Episode 189 von Win Today, Hockey O'Clock. Greg Holst, Spielerlegende, Trainerlegende und TV-Experte.
I feel like we'd have lost that game. I am telling you, it would have been devastating. They would not have won next game in Salzburg. That's just, no, they would not have. So, Mr. Johnny Hughes, top scorer in this league, it looks like he's getting younger. He scored a golden goal. Change of speed on his off wing, cuts in, nice delay, puts it upstairs, ties the game. Martin, that goal could have saved their season. It could have saved the coach's job. It could have saved a couple imports' jobs. Because if they don't win that game after such a great effort, and then possibly more than likely losing in Salzburg, it would have been devastating. So Johnny Hughes' goal turned their season around.
Win today, hockey O'Clock.
In diesem Augenblick wird es jetzt richtig hitzig. Yeah, und die Scheibe kollert über die Linie.
Yeah. Mittendrin statt nur der Ball.
Das ist unglaublich, was die vier zelebrieren.
Nice move, another nice move.
Oh, he's scored! What a goal! It doesn't get any better than this.
It's been overdue. There's always a good occasion to get him on Win Today Hockey O'Clock, but as the league is restarting, as we're all coming out of the international break, I thought it'd be a good idea to have some one-on-one time with him, which we didn't have too much, Coach. So incredibly happy that you jump in onto the show. Incredibly happy that you're once again on Win Today Hockey O'Clock.
Well, you forgot to mention my name, so they have no idea who you're talking to, but this is Greg.
I said it in the intro. It's Greg Holst. It's player legend.
Oh, sorry.
It's
okay.
Coaching legend. No. It's all good. But
my hearing's not what it used to be, Mark.
No, it's not your hearing. It always runs at the very top of the show where I mention the name and what he or she did in his career. That's a great thing about you. One doesn't need to mention all your accolades. People immediately know what they're in for and what they're getting. So this is actually a really great time talking to you. And when preparing for this conversation, I hit home and found so many different talking points that I want to hit. So hopefully we're getting them all underneath our belts over the next 45 to 60 minutes. But I want to start with something as we're recording this early Tuesday morning that just happened last night. You saw the entirety of Jeremy Roenick's Hall of Fame induction speech. I saw bits and pieces, and we usually don't do this too often, but there's going to be a link to the video to the induction speech in the show notes of the podcast. So if you just want to scroll down and want to watch the video and save it for later, please go do that. Why should every sports fan and every hockey fan in particular watch what Jeremy Roenick said last night?
Okay, Mark, before I get to J.R. Roenick, his speech at the Hall of Fame, you know my passion for the game and my love of the game and obviously the love for my family. We did a podcast last year. I touched on both of those. And, for those who don't know, but I'm sure most hockey fans in the world know the story about Johnny Gaudreau and his brother getting killed this summer in a horrific car accident. It just makes you wonder sometimes how our Lord works. And it was a shock to all my friends and everybody that I knew and everybody in the hockey world. So losing two young men like this who were best of friends, brothers, I don't know them, but of course my deepest condolences goes to their whole family. I know you feel the same. So I just wanted to mention that, how precious life can be, and a very, very sad story. Now, to a brighter topic, I was up last night at 2 in the morning watching Shea Weber talk, And this morning I went back, grabbed a couple hours sleep, and I got all of J.R. Roenick's Hall of Fame speech. One of the greatest characters to ever play the game. He could score, he could hit, he could fight, he danced on the ice, trouble off the ice, gambling, so many stories. But his speech was from the heart, just as he played, the people he thanked, thanking Doug Wilson towards the end of his career, basically saving his life, his wife, his children there, his story. I had tears in my eyes because of him and how he spoke. I mean, he got a standing ovation, and he was the last speech. And as they knew it would be, it was fantastic. So for any hockey fans, you could watch all the speeches. The two USA women who got inducted, fantastic hockey players. But listening to J.R. Roenick at the end, it is a must watch for any hockey fan or any sports fan. And enjoy it. And if it doesn't put a tear in your eye, something's wrong.
Couldn't have said it any better. Again, the link to his induction speech is in the show notes of this podcast. And I want to hit on a couple different points here. First of all, if people back home are asking why we record this in English, we did a season preview in German, but it is an international league. We got a lot of people tuning in, listening in from Slovenia, Hungary, two of the very dear countries that help make our league what it is. Secondly, we got a big following in Canada too. You could really see that there's kind of a Greg Holst effect because you mentioned the series that we did about you and your life so far. It's called 70 in 7. We recorded it from late last year to early February, your 70th birthday, and we dedicated one episode to every decade of your life. And over the course of those 7 episodes, so many people from Canada tuned in, I guess most of your parents and relatives, but there's still a lot of appetite for Greg Holst. And thirdly, as we were talking about the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, I still think, and I've always been adamant about that it's a shame that we over here in Austria don't have our very own Hall of Fame. So Federation, Winter Day Ice Hockey League, please get your S together and try to honor the people who got us here and have a ceremony of our own. I mean, how great would it be to kick off the year or close out the year by inducting 2 or 3 or maybe 4 and 5 people, personalities, contributors to the game, as it's called, who helped us get here. We have our century players, but it's just 6 of them. And there's so many people who gave their all to make hockey what it is. So just a little personal note. How would you feel about a Hockey Hall of Fame in Austria?
I think that's a great, great point, Martin, because you also said it's not just about being a great player. It's about personalities. It's the character of players, the joy they brought to the fans. You know, I think back to my days in Innsbruck. I was driving down to see my kids a few weeks ago, and I absolutely remember my first day in Innsbruck, my first practice in Innsbruck, seeing the mountains through the window of the Olympia Stadium. And I go, oh my God, it was 46 years ago. So how time flies, the great times we had, you know, putting up to 10,000 fans in that rink. All the great players that came through, Felak, Klangfurt, Vienna, all the teams. How many of those great players put so many fans in the stands and they are remembered? And it happens so often as you get close to the end of your career, you're kind of shoveled out of town, which is quite sad, but it's a good point you just made. I think it would be a fantastic.
You know, we'll get some people thinking and we'll talk to people and we'll try to help make it happen. Maybe we'll be able to call in a favor or two to get there. until we do actually talk about a Hall of Fame in Austria, let's talk a little bit about league action so far. Teams have been playing competitive hockey from August onwards, at the very least the teams that were participating in the Champions Hockey League. We are sitting at the tail end of the first IIHF international break, so league action is commencing soon again. Teams have played 14, 15, or 16 games, in one case even only, or in two cases only 13 games. So we're talking about the standings as they are right now, as of this recording. It's Tuesday, November 12th. And I asked you for your biggest takeaways, ideally three takeaways, three things that have caught your eye so far. What's maybe the biggest, or the one that comes to mind first?
Well, if you look at the teams that we had picked, you know, we weren't that far off, you know, just with the positioning changes a bit. The biggest surprise to start the year, of course, was Felak and Linz. There's just no doubt about that. And if anybody would have thought, excuse me, Linz, with that team they have, would score one goal in the first four games, it was a shocker. And I actually talked to Phil Lucas about it, and he was as shocked as I was. But we knew they could turn it around. All of a sudden, they score, I think, 12 goals in two or three games. So even in Felak, nobody would have thought they start 0-4. Now, they actually had a couple really good games, but they just couldn't find a way to win. They found a way to lose. And that usually comes back to a mental defensive mistake, which we will get into as we move along. Another nice surprise, but it's not really a surprise. I didn't have them as high as I should have had. I should not have had Ljubljana down below Asiago, even though I think you and me, we had this gut feeling about Asiago. But they've shown moments of brilliance, which we will get into. But Ljubljana, in my deepest thoughts, was always a top six, or let's say a playoff contending team. So I kind of missed the boat on that one, and it's great to see. It's great to see. I think the first game, they had 3,700 fans. So interest is back. They have a good owner behind the team. They picked up some good players. They're a really tight team with lots of great home players. It's a very good story. Is Karlsruhe and Salzburg in the middle of the pack a mega surprise? Not really. It is a story. Game seven in the finals. Then a lot of those players go to the national team. You have a mental letdown for Karlsruhe losing in game seven. Then you have, they're in the Champions League. Then you have injuries, the travel, boom. So is it fair to say they're a little bit beat up, maybe not scoring as much as they should be? Yeah. All of those above go into the reason they are where they are, but I am not concerned about either of those teams making a run for the title as we get down the stretch.
Now, I have to preface this a little bit, because you were referring to a power ranking that I made you do before the start of the year, and that power ranking, that could still happen. There are so many more games to be played, and we were talking about a ranking of how it might look at the very end of the regular season. So that's what we all did, and I'll get to that in a bit. I also made you do something that you didn't like, name a coach who would be fired first. And as of right now, no coaches have been fired, so that's a good thing. And I'm prefacing this that way because we're wishing all the organizations success. Obviously, as it's competitive sports, not every organization does find that success. So it's always a great point to kind of revisit our takes from 2 or 3 months ago, see how they shake out. And I did a power ranking myself. And if there's, I hate the word regret, but if there's one thing I'm looking back on and just comparing with the reality that we're living in right now, I probably would like to have my Vienna pick back. I thought they'd be a top six team, and that could very well still happen as they just change goaltenders. But over the first 15, 16 games, Vienna just had trouble scoring. They lost their goaltender, Tyler Parks, to injury very early in the year. The defense probably hasn't been there in cohesion with the goaltending where they would have liked to have it. The good thing about Vienna, like structurally and organizationally, they're set up so well, and there's so many, like, basically every 2 weeks I'm getting an email or a press release with a new sponsor that they found. So they're setting themselves up for success maybe even this year, but future success most definitely. Even though just the on-ice product isn't there yet. And again, could still happen, but I misjudged Pustertal. I misjudged the tremendous success Ljubljana is enjoying so far. And for me, it's a great thing to see that four international teams indeed are among the first five in the standings. Just shows what tremendous amounts of good work's been done in Fejervar, in Bolzano, in Pustertal, in Ljubljana. And we haven't had an international champion in 6 years. So if anything's overdue in our international league, it's maybe that. But if you could have one projection back from your power ranking, would it be where you place Ljubljana, or are you looking at something different or something else?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, let me just mention to Vienna too, like they do have trouble scoring, as you know. And they did pick up a forward with NHL experience. So that's definitely going to help. And you're right about their organization. GM Dolezal is doing a great job, and they have a great coach there. So they're a very structured team, a hard team to beat, but it's hard to win with 1.8 goals or 2 goals a game. So they're trying to clean that up, and bringing in a new player definitely will help. Yes, Ljubljana, I know they signed a couple of really good players, and they have now some money behind the team with, it's actually a Canadian owner, as you might say. And my gut feeling on Asiago, I'm not exactly sure why I had a gut feeling, but I did. But definitely, I would have them reversed. I'd have Ljubljana in the top eight. Because anybody who makes the playoffs can be dangerous. Because we'll go through some of the goaltending stats later, and there's some freaking good goalies in this league. So that's the one I would have. I'd have Ljubljana up higher. And Asiago down a little bit lower. But like you said, there's lots of games left. But I don't feel Ljubljana is going to fall off that far. They have a big team. They have a lot of home guys. I know the Slovenians. I coached a couple, and one of my favorite players ever was Verlich. And these guys, they hang tight, and they're a tough team to beat.
I mean, we could be talking about the organizational troubles that, for example, Asiago is facing right now, but I'm going to save that for another day, even though I have strong opinions on everything that is going on right now. I'd much rather talk about Filler, and I've got a twofold question for you, as you're very close to the club. As they were heading into the break on a three-game win streak, did the break for Filler come at the wrong or at the right time? Wrong time, considering that they were on fire. Right time, because it helps them to righten the ship even better.
Well, whenever you have a win streak before a break, it could be good, could be bad. I think it's good because they left the rink excited. Then they had their 3-4 days off to enjoy themselves. They came back. I understand they have a couple of really good practices. Other teams are up to, 6 days off, which I find long, but some teams are beat up. So if there's any injuries at all, this is the break. If I look back, Martin, at Filler, them being in last place after 10 games, I believe it was, nobody would have called that. Sure, they had a great game against Graz, and they lost a close game. They had a couple other really good games. in Fehervar. They lost 2-0, but had great chances. And we know Fehervar, how good Fehervar's goalie is. They had some really good games where they showed a lot. But it's, you got to win. So we did the game against Klagenfurt on TV. The pressure was enormous. That was one of the best derbies we've seen in years. I mean, it was intense, a lot of good hits, a little bit of trash talking. Both goalies played great, especially Dam in the start, in the first period. He basically saved them from getting behind. And all of a sudden...
And a come-from-behind victory.
All of a sudden, one late defensive mistake, and 6 or 7 minutes before the end, Strong scores, they are up 2-1. You feel like we would have lost that game. I am telling you, it would have been devastating. They would not have won next game at Salzburg. That's just, no, they would not have. So, Mr. Johnny Hughes, top scorer in this league. It looks like he's getting younger. He scored a golden goal. Change of speed on his off wing, cuts in, nice delay, puts it upstairs, ties the game. Martin, that goal could have saved their season. It could have saved the coach's job. It could have saved a couple imports' jobs. Because if they don't win that game after such a great effort, and then possibly, more than likely, losing in Salzburg, it would have been devastating. So Johnny Hughes' goal turned their season around. Then you get into overtime. Rockenwald scored 2 late goals against Linz. All of a sudden, he's a new player. And he's on the ice in overtime. Wins the draw, keeps the puck for 8-10 seconds, gets it to the net. They win the game. It changed their whole season. That goal from Johnny Hughes. And, of course, they win at Salzburg. A good tight. I got some info there that they deserve the win. They out-battled Salzburg. And coming home against Asiago, and the day before, I met their coach downtown for the first time. He's like, you know, I stay away. Things weren't going well. You stay away from the team. And we had a beer together and we talked shop. He's a great guy. And we both agreed Asiago can be dangerous if you look at some of the games they won and some of the games they lost. Top penalty killer, top goaltending, top scorers. Beware. They come out, they're up 4-0, they win 10-2. The team is flying. The team is exciting. And tomorrow night, they're in Bolzano. So that's going to be the next test.
And just to hammer home the Asiago argument, 3 of the top 3 scorers are from Asiago in this league. So it's no coincidence
that
they've been very competitive. But then again, 2 up and down to really make it in the top half of the standings. Sticking with Fila for one other thing, as I promised a 2-4 question. The organization, I'm really curious, first of all, to see how they're going to fare after the break and heading into the home stretch or the regular season, but the organization has started to set themselves up for the near future. Schwab and Rauchenwald stepping down from their roles and installing a sportive sports GM general manager with club legend Herbert Hohenberger. What do you think will he bring to the table? How will Villach look as far as you can judge a year from now?
Well, you know, Schwab leaving and Rockenwald, you know, Rockenwald's got a busy job. These guys are busy businesses.
You know, and to their credit, they saved the organization from incredible financial troubles.
Yes, so that's what I was just going to mention, that, you know, Schwab was fantastic how he organized sponsors. They were in some financial trouble. So they reorganized. And as you just said, basically save this organization. So hats off to them for doing that. Now they're stepping aside, or they might be in meetings helping the team as they move along. I don't exactly know their new roles, what they're going to be, but their roles will be very small. They tried to bring Herbie Holmberger in last year as an assistant coach and start preparing to be a GM. Herbie was a great hockey player. I know him well. We golf all the time. Tough competitor. Has good experience now coaching in Germany. He's a legend here. He's a very popular character. But that only goes so far. He's going to have probably some very good connections, hopefully, financially also, and hopefully they're financially sound. It's going to be new. This is not going to be simple for Herbie. I think that I can speak, if Herbie was sitting right here, we'd talk about this, and we probably will talk about it. Setting up people around him. His right hand, he needs a right hand man. He needs a left hand man. He needs a couple really good, trustworthy people around him. And then, of course, the right coach, the right assistant coach. That's the team you have to build. Owner, GM, coaching staff, and everything else is under that. Moses is doing a great job running all the kids program, taking over from Philip Pinter, which, you know, is not easy because he has a job also. And they have really good coaches, two Slovenian coaches and other coaches in the organization. Right now, I help with the U-Dry team, with the U-13 team. So I just help out where I can, where I'm needed. But they have a really good, stable organization. So Herbie has to look at the whole program. What young talent do we have? How do we push them to get ahead? When do you let a couple of these 16-year-olds start practicing with the first team, as we did back in the day? Your top talents in the organization, how do you take care of them? So he has to organize a lot of stuff, but for Herbie, it's going to be getting the right people around him that he can trust and he can work with.
Getting the right people might be something that we could use as a segue to talk about Red Bull Salzburg. We were talking about stable organizations. If there's a stable organization, we'd probably look right at Salzburg, but they haven't had the success that they probably would like to have themselves. Only 6 wins in regulation in the first 13 games. Of course, they've been playing Champions Hockey League 2. Of course, they made the knockout stage in the Champions Hockey League as well. And with the many, many national team players that just played during the international break, that obviously played the Olympic qualification and had their season extended to a game 7 last year in the finals, and world championships in hockey as well. So much hockey that's been played, but something doesn't feel right in Salzburg. And they've been an organization historically that's always reloaded in January, in February to set themselves up for a long playoff run and obviously leave nothing to chance. Is it maybe time for Salzburg to reload a little earlier to get out of the slump, or are they going to be fine?
Martin, I'm not laughing, but they had a great start last year and all of a sudden they went through a long slump and they were not even talked about in the last 2.5 months to possibly win their third title in a row. They were just not even discussed. So you can't be worried about that. You know, they lost a couple of good players, yes, but they have lots of great guys. Toller has made a great step. One disappointing factor is definitely Andrew Rowe. I mean, we both thought this guy could be an absolute top player. He did get hurt. He's played 9 games, 1 goal, 1 assist. I believe it is, or 3 assists. 1 goal, 1 assist in 9 games. They need him to be that experienced leader. So far, it hasn't turned out. Questions would be, they are doing great in the Champions League. They do not score a lot. Because Tolvanen is a great goalie. and at 2.02 goals against, 92.4%, that means the team's not scoring enough. That's factual. Can Roe pick it up? They will be looking for some offensive help, because they're pretty strong on D. They got a good defensive core, good young, big Austrian defensive. They're a good team. I wouldn't worry about them. Like you say, last year, they won't be forgotten. Once we get into January, believe me. So Andrew Roe, I would say, is a little bit of a concern. They need him to pick it up, be that experienced guy. You had seen him play last year, was it? And he was one of the best players on the ice. We were both very high on this guy, even though I don't know him, just from his stats, a captain, his experience. So far, it hasn't panned out.
But I would second that. If there is one team we shouldn't worry about too much, if there's one team that knows how to flip the switch, if there's one team that's got enough characters to quote-unquote police themselves at Salzburg, and I'll put this here on the record too. Still the presumptive or prohibitive favorite to win the title until proven otherwise. I guess that's the street cred that you've acquired when you won the title three times in a row. Or would you beg to differ?
Do not underestimate Salzburg. I know Raffel and Schneider and these guys, they're leaders in the room. You know, talking about their coach comes in, you know, I would say somewhat inexperienced for this position, but what does he have? Like Holmberger's situation, what does he have around him? Excellent assistant coaches, excellent goalie coach, top players that can lead the dressing room. That's what Herbert Holmberger has to do in Phylak. And it does come down to your two or three leaders on the team also, with the people he's going to put around him. So Salzburg's coach has the right-hand man and the left-hand man and the people around him for him to be able to learn as a coach.
Now, I want to take a look at the other end of the standings, and actually it's the very end of the standings, with Feykir in Innsbruck, as of this recording, being quote-unquote cellar dwellers. And we know both organizations, and we know a lot of people either coaching or playing there. And actually, I'm very much looking forward to a week from now, where I'm going to be heading to Innsbruck to meet with Kurt Smotherman and record a conversation for this podcast with the new Innsbruck head coach. A lot of smart people working in the organizations, a lot of good players playing on the teams, but hasn't worked out so far for them. So again, a two-part question. How are they going to turn it around? What do they have to do to turn it around? And at what time would it be time to panic if things continue to go south?
Well, I don't know if panic's the right way. You know, Innsbruck over the this year, Innsbruck has delivered some great games. Winning at Clankford, where they always played well, 4-1. They won a couple of games at Omaha, then they lose 2-3. Their goalie did save them early in the season. I understand that. But they always have two lines that can score. They always, as we talk, they always get good players. But two good lines is just not deep enough. And for them to be successful, they're going to, you know, you need contributions from that third line and the fourth line's an energy line to give the top players an opportunity not to wear themselves out. As we spoke, you know, trying to pick teams towards the bottom, it's an awful feeling to put teams at the bottom. But we also said anywhere from 7 or 8 down, anybody can make the pre-playoffs, including Pioneers and Innsbruck, but they're going to have to string 3-4 wins in a row or win 3 of 5, because in the three-point system, look at Phylak, they're dead last. 3 wins in 5 days are in 9th. So for these teams, the three-point system helps them. It's not a two-point system like in the NHL. As far as the Pioneers go, expectations were high from the fans, from the coach. I did talk to one of the assistants. He said, we got a pretty deep team, maybe deeper than the last year. But here's the problem. When you lose your MVP player, top scorer in the league, Steven Ori, and he's doing good in Switzerland now, he was a game breaker so often. So they've lost that MVP player. They're not scoring enough as a team. Depth is fine, but depth is great, but you have to score. And both goaltending, 89% and 84%, just does not get it done collectively. They've got a good coaching staff. They've got a great head coach. We all wish them well because it's an important team for the league. Martin, can I throw you a quick stat from the NHL talking about goaltending before I forget? The goaltending in the NHL this year is all over the place. 89%. It hasn't been this low in years. Last year was, I believe, 90.5. And that 1.5% is a lot. So even in the NHL, if you're under that 90, 91, most teams struggle. That is a fact. It's not, and if your goalies are struggling, you better be able to score 3, 4, 5 goals a game. And with the Pioneers, that's just not the case.
But then again, there's still room to turn a lot of things around. But still, I think it's no understatement to say that Feldkirch and the stretch they're facing coming out of the break will probably tell a lot or be the thing that kind of decides upon a lot of things. They're playing Pustertal Wednesday night. So at the day this recording sees the day of light, they travel to Fehava on Friday and have Vienna on Saturday. Both of those games being away from their rinks. So we're talking about 3 games in 4 days against 3 premium opponents. And after that, we'll know a lot more about the Pioneers. So that's going to be definitely interesting. And you were talking about the MVP that of course they're missing dearly. It's Stephen Aury, still the reigning MVP of the Winter Day Ice Hockey League. If you had to award the MVP right now after 13, 14, 15, 16 games played in the league as of this recording, who would that be?
Not even a question in my mind. I've seen some highlights. I have not seen them live yet. Ramos Raiola. I hope I said that correctly. 31 years old.
It's Rasmus, but almost.
Finnish goalie. 10 games, 1.20 goals against, 95.6% save percentage. With a good depth team, they're in first place, as Anton Bernard said they would be. You have to go with Raiola as MVP so far in this league.
I 100% agree. I was looking at all the different candidates, and there are some good cases to be made, but this is the stuff of legends. And I know it's a small, relatively small sample size, but if he can continue the trajectory he is on as of right now into his 20th, 30th, or 40th game of the year, that'd be tremendous. 1.2 goals against per game, 3 shutouts, 95.6% of the shots that he's faced saved. That is incredible. And just on another note, as regards Hudofeava AV19, who are currently leading the standings, 3 of their top scorers the 3 top scorers are Janos Hage, Jana Dere, and Balázs Seborg, and all of them Hungarian. So it's a great Hungarian core. It's a great import goaltender. It's a great import core as regards the rest of the players. And it doesn't come as too big a surprise that they've been doing really well. And even though the rink hasn't filled out yet, but with wins, there's usually a lot more butts in the seats at the new arena. And at one point, we'll hopefully get there. I've only heard good things about the infrastructure, the arena, just the quality of watching hockey there. Speaking
Martin,
of quality...
Can I ask you a question? I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, shoot.
Because you're a hockey guy. What other team in this league is built like Fehler with good goaltending, but is built very similar? Which team?
I'd argue Bolzano.
Ljubljana. Well, loaded with Slovenians.
Yeah, I guess it's how you see or how you try to look at the nationality thing, because a lot of players on Bolzano with Italian contracts or with Italian passports, pardon me. Yeah, you could make a case for all of those three.
Well, Ljubljana loaded with Slovenians, right? They get Sablic back and Tomasevic back, and they hang tight. And Lukas Horak is 31 years old. He's got 2.05, 93.3 save percentage. Built just like Fehervar. Now, if you look at Bolts, where are they in the standings? They're right there at the top. What do they have? They have Sam Harvey and Nets at 2.07 and 93% save percentage. How important is goaltending? It's absolutely massive. Sorry, I get a little excited, but the league is exciting this year.
I 100% agree with you again. And that's probably going to continue because actually 9 days away from today, and as of this recording coming out on the various podcast feeds, it's only going to be 8 days. We're going to be heading to Graz. It's going to be another edition of Winter Day Hockey O'Clock on Tour. And it's a stop I've been very much looking forward to for a long time. Not only because I'm going to be spending one-on-one time with you again, this time in person, but also because so many things have happened in Graz. We're going to be talking to the new head coach, to Hage Lange, who oversees a massive operation. We're going to talk to two former Klagenfurt players now on Graz with Manuel Ganal and with Lukas Haudum. And I'm going to stay around for the day after, as it's the first of two meetings in Graz between Graz and Klagenfurt. So on the eve of that game, we're going to be recording a live episode of this podcast in the Heinz Sports Bar in Graz, Liebenau. And it's going to be a great day or a great evening of hockey talk. Hopefully a lot of people come to Heinz to listen, not only to us, but most importantly to the players and the head coach or the Mosel Medical Graz 99ers that we're going to have on. Exciting times for hockey in Graz. Exciting times for sports in Graz, as they're all also having or enjoying to have the reigning Austrian champion in terms of soccer. Let's talk a little bit about Graz, and we'll save some of the best stuff for the on-site event as well. You played a year in Graz. You've been following them under the new kind of rendition edition, the Graz 99ers, who weren't around back in your playing days. How exciting is it to see that there's some real money invested into hockey and what's happened, like if you compare it to last year so far?
Well, I think it's fantastic, not only for Graz and their fans, but also for the whole league. Like, you want good, strong Austrian teams in it. We know when Cards A plays against Graz, right? That place is full. Last year, Martin, we did a TV game. Cards A was playing in Graz. If I remember correctly, Graz had lost 10 in a row. The place was full. Sure, the Klagenfurt fans, but also the Graz fans. But if you look at the history of Klagenfurt, Salzburg, boom, they always had a Red Bull. Heidi Horton, you mentioned it. You need finances behind the team. And they got that. They got that in Graz with Mr. Yernick, who loves hockey. That's the connection. You can have money and not know anything about hockey. It helps, but to be a great hockey fan and to be able to hire the right people is not simple, but they have done that. And they are sitting in a pretty good, exciting situation and position. Starting out 5-0 was probably not great for them because they could have lost a couple of games. Expectations maybe got a little high. Now they're back to where they should be. They're right in the mix. They have a great coach in Harry Langer, a really smart move getting assistant coach Nate DiCasimiro. Smart move. Philip Pinter, GM, putting a good staff together. You can have all the best players. They got some really nice players. They picked up. But if you don't have the right coach pushing the right buttons, you cannot be successful.
And you know what? For all the people intending to come to our event, it's Win Today, Hockey O'Clock on Tour, November 21st, 7 p.m. It's the Heinz Sports Bar in Graz, Liebenau. For all the people intending to attend, please send me an email. It's hockeyoclock101@gmail.com. Just short and precise, I'm coming or I'll be there. And among all the people who are sending me an email within the next week, I'll have two tickets for the Klagenfurt game on November 22nd available. Among all the people sending me an email, two tickets for the game a day after Win Today Hockey O'Clock on tour in Graz. We're both very much looking forward to it. It's going to be great evening of hockey talk. Really looking forward to talking to Harry Lange, Manuel Ganal, and Lukas Haudum. And maybe there's going to be another surprise guest. We'll look into that. Speaking of surprises, the National Hockey League has been underway for quite some time too. And we haven't had to talk to chat about the NHL yet. We started at the very beginning of the show about talking about the Hockey Hall of Fame induction speeches. I think it's a travesty that professional games are going on while the Hockey Hall of Fame induction ceremony is. Just look at how the National Football League is doing it. They're saving an entire weekend for Hall of Fame inductions. And I think you should do that when honoring your heroes. Anyway, little side note, what's stood out so far as regards the NHL and the action that you've seen so far?
Well, I tell you what, some stuff that's hard to believe. Let's start with the number one most fantastic story that's caught everybody off guard. It's a new NHL record. Winnipeg Jets 14-1, winning 14 of the first 15 games has never been done in the NHL. They are scoring. They have the number one goal, Hellebuck. They have a mega, yes, last year they were very good. They had over 100 points and they came up flat against Colorado, including their goalie who did not play well. They got blown out by Colorado. They have a chip on their shoulder. They are absolutely flying, enjoying the moment, a new record. That is incredible. On the other end of the scale, the Edmonton Oilers, they came out the first three games. I think they got outscored 17-3. Another terrible start. They're just starting to find their way back. Nobody gave Calgary a chance to start the season. They won the first five. And here's another great start. Who would have predicted the Washington Capitals would be 10-4 ahead of the New York Rangers? Ovechkin, 10 goals already, playing one of his greatest starts. The great story, I think he's 34, if I remember exactly correctly, against Gretzky for the all-time goal-scoring record. This is a story in itself. Crosby getting his 1,600th point. He has 498. goals. 500's close. Malkin getting his fifth 500th goal, assisted by Crosby. Some fantastic storylines in the NHL to follow this year.
You know, not too long ago, it was a question of whether or not Alexander Ovechkin would be breaking Gretzky's goal record. Now it's a question of whether or not he's going to do it this season. You think he's going to do it this year?
Very good chance. And if you watch Gretzky's interviews, and he's such a humble, great superstar, he cannot wait for it to happen. And he's going to be there, boy, down the stretch, just like Gordie Howe was there when he broke his record. It's a great story. One thing about Ovechkin, if you watch him, he's scoring too, not only the one-timer, he's scoring different ways. He's better shaped this year. Do you ever notice when he scores a goal, the excitement, his body language, or when his teammates score? Talk about the love of the freaking game. I mean, the owner loves him, the fans love him, the players, when he scores on the bench, they love it. Because they know something special is coming. So, yeah, he's got a chance. Last year, if you remember, he had a very, very poor first half. Then he got 20 goals in the last 40 games or whatever it was. And now everybody's going, whoa, maybe there is a chance. And right now, 5'8", Montreal Canadian Caulfield, has 12 goals, the most in the NHL. Talk about, for all you little players out there, learn to shoot the puck, learn to have a feel for the game. There is a place for you in the NHL. And who is two behind him? Mr. Ovechkin.
I mean, as you're talking about size, I guess that's why it's such a damn shame to have lost Johnny Gaudreau way too early, because he was one of the prototypical size doesn't really matter guys in the National Hockey League. And just on the note about the Winnipeg Jets and their historical run that they're on, the next three games are going to tell us a whole lot more about the Jets as they're playing at the Rangers, at the Lightning, and at the Panthers, all happening this week. If they take those three games, I guess they're not only for real, they're really for real. That's why it's exciting to watch the NHL. And when we talk about size doesn't matter and why it's exciting to watch the NHL, we have to talk about Marco Rossi. We have to talk about the Minnesota Wild. We have to talk about the success that John Hines brought to the program. Kaprizov destroying the league. Boldy, one of the next superstars. And Rossi right in the midst of it. How have you been following him and the Wild?
Well, I follow, you know, the highlights and all that stuff. So, and I saw Marco Kasper's up. He's played 10 games, right, in Detroit. One assist, but he's there. So for him being there, that means he's picked up his all-around defensive play and he's understanding the game. The offense is not there yet. But for him to be there for 10 games with one assist, he's doing something right. You don't get an automatic ride. Draisaitl got $14 million card, right? That's coming up. McDavid's going to be probably above that. The owner, before I get to Ross, the owner of Minnesota has come out and said, we will do everything in our power to sign Kaprizov. He could conceivably, because of the percentage that you're allowed, and the caps going up, he could become the highest paid in the history of the NHL. Let's go to Marco Rossi. Interesting. He's on the last year of his contract. First of all, we don't have to talk about his story. What he went through to get, I mean, that is a story in itself, a fantastic character. He is on pace this year for 22 goals and 71 points. He has 4 goals, 9 assists till today. It's his contract here. So If you get 22 goals or you get 71 points in the NHL, that puts you in a category of probably 4 or 5 million, if not more, for probably 5 to 8 years, depending how much Kaprizov takes off the table. So he's looking at a big raise, obviously. But if he gets 71 points and he's on track for it, he's going to be looking at a fantastically deserved contract extension.
Fourth leading scorer on the Wild with 13 points in 15 games. He's about to almost triple. Well, it's going to be 2.5 times the amount of assists that he's going to have as of right now, and a projection compared to last year. Couldn't happen to a better guy. But Minnesota will be very top heavy at some point, because Kaprizov, Boldy, Rossi, all of them need to get paid. Brock Faber at one point will demand a high salary too. It's going to be interesting how Billy Guerin is going to keep that one together, but it's definitely exciting to watch the Wild this season. And if you have the chance to do so, either in person, on site, or indeed over the various streaming devices, please do so. Interesting times for the National Hockey League, and that's got to do with a verdict between the NCAA and the CHL, so basically the Canadian Junior Leagues. Because if you were playing CHL hockey, meaning the OHL, the WHL, or the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, you weren't eligible to play NCAA hockey. That'll change with the start of the 2025-26 season. It's a tremendous pool of talent that's now available to the NCAA. How do you think this is going to change the sport? Is it going to change the sport?
Well, it's going to change, and the players can get paid when they go to college. And those big universities are multi-millionaire businesses. Some of the players are going to be making a lot of money. You know who it really affects? It affects the second-tier junior A team. Because let's say the BCJHL, British Columbia, all those players, and there's some really good players that could play in the WHL or in the top junior league, but they can't even play one exhibition game because they would not qualify for NCAA scholarships. So it's going to have a big effect on them, on those leagues, the USHL, BCJH, because those top players will now play major junior because they know they can get a scholarship out of major junior. That's a tough one. That's a tough one for those teams. So they're always going to have to become really young leagues. I don't know. You know, it's always a struggle in a lot of them to get enough fans to survive. So if you're going to be losing top players, that's a steep slope to climb.
It's definitely an interesting time to be alive and to observe the hockey realms. It's always great to have you on the show. We're approaching the 1 hour mark, so another hour of lifetime that I've cost you. You can be seen on Pulse 24. You can be heard from time to times on this program. You can be seen and heard a week from now on November 21st in Graz when it's Winter Day Hockey O'Clock on tour. I could be going on for another hour, which I'm probably going to do in Graz anyways. Thank you so much for jumping onto the show. Thank you so much for providing all these insights, and thank you so much for just living, breathing, sleeping hockey as it is. Coach, always a pleasure having you.
Martin, thank you very much. And don't forget, all you hockey fans, watch J.R. Roenick and his Hall of Fame speech. It's a classic. Thanks, Martin. You take care of yourself.
Win today, Hockey O'Clock.
Kurz durchatmen bei diesem Wahnsinn. Und das ging rasend schnell. Der Traum vom Finale ist erfüllt. Die Minuten drin statt nur dabei.
Die Fans, stimmungsvoll und hoffnungsfroh.
Nice move.